Well, the news has been crazy. If we listen to and believe everything that you see in the news, we would go dig a hole, crawl in the hole, and pull a hole in on top of us. Fear. Everywhere. Fear everywhere. Listen. Wash your hands. Right? I mean, everybody's been... I mean, that's like the key thing. Wash your hands. You know what? The Bible says, wash your hands, O ye sinners. It ain't nothing new. And if we're just now learning that we're supposed to be washing our hands, we got problems. I want to give you some things to think about for just a moment. How many of you have been to Costco? There's nothing there. I mean, they have swamped that place, bought out all the toilet paper. I thought this was a respiratory problem.
Come on.
Now listen, couple, everybody buying toilet paper for a respiratory problem.
It's a problem.
And they've got truckloads of it in their back closet. What about somebody that doesn't have a whole closet full and they run out and now they can't buy any?
Yep.
What are they going to do? Because you have all the toilet paper. Just trying to give you things to think about here. I'm not going to be in Acts this morning. I want to talk about this corona. The Hunan Wuhan virus. Hunan, I don't know. I think we need to deal with this. I think it needs to be dealt with. As God's people, we're not to live in fear. We should be washing our hands. I mean, that my mama taught me that a long time ago. And I'm not promoting washing your hands. I think it's a great idea. But I also think we as a society have become so freaked out and so paranoid about washing our hands. I thought, I'm not going to cancel church because of this thing. But at the same time, I want the people to feel comfortable and feel, cared for. And so I told Tammy, I said, listen, I think I need to go and buy some hand sanitizer and put it out just for those that come in and they want to use some hand sanitizer or whatever to come into church and we're shaking hands and all these kinds of things. And so I went to the Dollar General to buy some hand sanitizer. Guess what? They ain't got any. They've got no hand sanitizer at the head. So I go to Ray's and I look all around in Ray's. I can't find any hand sanitizer. And so I asked the lady, do you have any hand sanitizer? She said, well, yes. It's at the when you walk into the checker stand there, she says, we got these little bitty bottles. Those little bitty tiny bottles out there are $6 a piece.
Oh my God.
The little ones right out there on that table. $6 a piece. And we wash our hands so much with those kinds of chemicals that we wash off the good bacteria, we wash off the bad bacteria, and we get to a place where our body don't know what a bacteria is and we don't know how to fight it off. Listen, I don't mean to be gross here, but I've worked with cattle my whole life and horses and those kinds of things, and I've ate sandwiches with cow clear to my elbows. My body has some immunities built up in it to fight stuff off. You know what hand sanitizer was for my mom? Here, let me get that for you. Am I lying? I'm not lying. I mean, they spit on a rag and wipe you all down. That's good. Psalm 27, verse 1, verse 5, verse 13, and verse 14 says this: "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret place of His tabernacle, He shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock." Verse 13, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Verse 14, "Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Father, this morning, more than any other time, I need Your touch today. God, I need Your anointing today. God, I need Your directive today. Lord, I need Your words in my life, in my mouth, in my ears. Lord, I pray, God, that this word would get out of my spirit and into the lives and the ears and the spirit of Your people today. God, that we would leave this place with some sort of a Holy Ghost tenacity that said, "I will not walk in fear, but I will walk according to the precepts of Almighty God and His Word." And Lord, I thank You that Your Word is true and that it's still yea and amen. And Father, I thank You for all that You do for us and the provision that You have made for us, God. And help us today to walk in Your provision in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Now, let me start out by saying this. The very first place that a person of faith ought to turn in a time of crisis is their faith.
Come on.
The very first place a person of faith ought to turn to in the time of crisis is their faith. Let me tell you the reason why. And again, I should have put this on the board. The crisis times reveal if your faith works. Let me say that again. In crisis times, the crisis time will reveal if your faith works. In the crisis time, there are some things that you and I need to remember. And I want to begin with number one. How many of you understand today? There's just some things in your life you cannot control. There are things in your life and my life that we cannot control. It's a fact that some people find very difficult to accept. Some people want to control everything and everybody around them. Anybody ever worked for a micromanager?
Come on.
I mean, looking over your shoulder, telling you everything that you got to do, this, that, and something else. I mean, some people want to control everything and everybody around them. Listen, when we encounter a situation that we cannot control, a problem that cannot be fixed today, a situation which may never be changed, it's difficult to come to grips with the fact that this is something I cannot control. We've all faced those times. I'm pretty sure of it. There have just been things come up in your life and my life that I can't control. Would to God that I could control, because I really would. How many of you have got children that are having struggles and problems and things are just not going the way you... And you, if you could fix it, if you could do something about it, you would. We can't control all of those things. I can't control it. Number one, there are things you cannot control. Number two, when your world shakes, here's a clue, God's still on the throne.
Amen.
God's not in heaven sitting on the throne this morning, RJ, going, "Ah, I didn't see that virus coming." What in the... I mean, he's calling some heavenly meeting to find out, well, what are we going to do? I'm pretty sure Jesus took care of this on the cross. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching, dear. When our world begins to shake, God is still on the throne. When your world is shaking, God is not shaking. He's not bewildered. He's not freaking out. Listen, in an earthquake, you cannot stop the world from shaking. You can't stop your world from shaking. In an earthquake, it's just going to shake. Part of making it through the crisis is to have a cool head. Listen, I don't know about the rest of you, but what I see, what's happening around the world and here locally and with the shopping and all those kind of people are freaking out. Schools are shut down. Basketball shut down. Hockey's shut down.
NASCAR
shut down. You can't gather, at least in Oregon, you can't gather, have a gathering of more than, 250 people? I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday, and he lives in St. George down there where we were ministering for several years down there, and he said that the LDS church has shut down its entire everything. Keep a cool head. You and I and the rest of the world need to think right. We need to think right. If you're going to think right, then you have to remember that God's still on the throne. And when you're in trouble and you're feeling pain and when you're feeling loss or hurt and frustration, it's easy to forget that God still rules. He's still in control. Psalm 115 verse 3 says that God is sovereign. That our lives may be in chaos and our circumstance may appear to be unbearable, but we have to remember, church, that God has not forgot about you. He has not forgotten about you. He's still at work in your life. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 28 says this. As soon as I get it up here. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Do you know who that's talking about? That's talking about our God. He's talking about my Father. So, number one, there's things that we can't control. Number two, when our world shakes, God's still on the throne. Number three, we need to remember that as God's people, we do not face our crisis times alone. We have divine help. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. The Bible says that the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? We just have to come to a place this morning, I believe, church, where we ask ourselves this question. Do I believe this? When I called my friend yesterday on the phone, I said, hey, does God's Word have an expiration date? He goes, no. Why would you ask that? I said, because the church, so many people that are Christian people are freaking clear out because of this virus. And I just was wondering if God's Word doesn't work anymore. He said, no, I believe it still works. In times of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret place of His tabernacle, He shall hide me, and He shall set me high upon a rock. Number four, in crisis times...
I waited.
And that's why. Listen. In crisis times, church, we have to deal with our perspective on life. Think about that. In times of crisis, you and I have to deal with my perspective, with our perspectives on life. We have a tendency in times of crisis to evaluate what is really important, and for a lot of people, apparently, it's toilet paper.
Come on.
Listen, I'm not trying to be funny. I'm not trying to crack jokes. I'm just saying the evidence would show that in much of the society today, the number one most important thing as I reprioritize my life is toilet paper. Evaluate what's important. Number two, we see a little more clearly what is temporal and what is eternal. Think about this. What is your thought process if you start coughing and you get a headache and you start having shortness of breath and you go to the doctor? The doctor says, listen, you've got corded number nine or whatever it is. The coronavirus. I haven't had the coronavirus since I quit drinking.
I am great.
Just saying. What are you going to do now? Oh, they, you know, people are dying all over the place in this thing. What am I going to do? All of a sudden now I can see pretty clearly the things that are temporal and things are eternal. If the worst thing happens to me in the midst of the crisis, if the worst thing happens to me in the midst of the crisis, let me put it into perspective for you. It just moves me into the very best thing that could ever happen to me.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Listen, if you don't denounce Christ, we're going to kill you. Threaten me. None of us want to die, but we all want to go to heaven. We just don't want to die to get there. I'm in that camp. I'd just soon be raptured. The Bible says to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. So let's shift gears a little bit and think about this. What should you do in the middle of a crisis? What should you do in the middle of a crisis? Well, number one, remain calm. Typically, when we're limited in the amount of force that we can exert to personally overcome the challenges of life. That being the case, then we need to ask the Lord to help us remain calm when faced with a crisis. David, the psalmist, had to do this multiple times, on multiple occasions. In Psalm 131 and verse 2, we read, "Surely I have calmed and quieted my soul." You know, sometimes you just gotta just chill out. Calm down. Evaluate what you're being told. Go to the Lord. Let's see, where am I at? Oh. Here's a kind of a stabbing point. Crisis times produce panic. Crisis times produce panic. And whenever you panic, you lose. How many times have we heard of something happen and everybody starts to panic and everybody starts to run and somebody falls down and get trampled by everybody else that's around there and end up dying because of it? Why? Because panic. Because people can't maintain self-control. We need to be grateful that our reaction doesn't make, or we need rather to be careful that our reaction does not make the crisis worse. And then God has not given us, according to 2 Timothy, chapter 1 and verse 7, He's not given us a spirit of fear. For it says this, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." When you're panicking, when you're freaking out, you're not rational in your thinking. Was it, what, 2 or 3 years ago? We had bad weather. Real bad weather. And right here, on the freeway, there was traffic was stopped, and this lady stopped, and a truck was coming at her, and she got so panicked that she freaked out, and she jumped across off the bridge. And it cost her life, and nothing happened. But she panicked. And it cost her life. I mean, that's an isolated thing, but I mean, that it happens all the time. Right here at Round Prayer. God's not given, man, if we could grasp this verse, I think we've grasped it. If the world outside could grasp this verse, it would change the way we live. So number one, we need to remain calm in the middle of a crisis. Number two, we need to call on the Lord early and often. Call upon the Lord early and often. Psalm 86 and verse 7, "In the day of my trouble, I shall call upon you, for you answer me." Remember, we're talking about dealing with Corona. We're talking about, we're naming it Corona, but listen, this applies to every aspect of our life. Cry out in the day of my trouble. I call upon you, for you answer me. Listen, whether the crisis is completely out of our hands or some portion is marginally under our control, we have to remember that ultimately we must trust God to show up. Here's an illustration. Let me illustrate it this way. A sign on the wall of a factory read this way: when your machine gets off track, call the foreman. So this young man, who was new on the job, soon found himself trying to work with a malfunctioning machine, and he thought, well, I'll just straighten this out myself. And he tried, but the situation only got worse. And so finally he called the foreman, and when the foreman arrived, he said, I did the best I could. The foreman said, no, you didn't. To have done your best, you should have called me. We're all like that guy. So many of us are like that guy. I got this one, God. You're laughing because I'm knocking on your door. It's true. I got this. And then we're about this deep in concrete and it's setting up quick and we start crying out to God, which we should have done to begin with. The best thing that we can do in the time of crisis is not try and handle it ourselves, but to call upon God for our help. Chapter 27 of Psalm verse 14 says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So we need to remain calm. We need to call on the Lord early and often. And this is vital, church. We need to keep our eyes on the Lord because things may get worse before they get better. I'm not promoting fear, but let me just put it to you this way. In the last days, if this is the way people are going to respond over a virus, in the last days, it is really going to be bad.
Amen.
I mean, you know what I'm talking about? It's going to be bad. We need to learn to laugh. In Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 22, it says, a merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bone. There is something that has been proven through science and all those kinds of things that says, listen, when you laugh, it releases all kinds of healthy stuff into your body. Endorphins are released in your brain and it actually helps with healing. We have to learn to laugh. We need to pray the promises of God. We need to pray God's Word, church. You need to get in God's Word. You need to begin to read God's Word, and you need to begin to just pray as you're reading God's Word, what God's Word is saying. Make it a prayer. Send it to God. Let Him help you. We need to experience God's supernatural peace. Do you know that the Bible said that when Jesus went to heaven, He sent the Paraclete. You know what the Paraclete is? Or who, rather, the Paraclete is? He's the Comforter. He's the counselor. He's the one that gives us peace. Not just some peace, but peace that passes all understanding. Now you might understand it, and I might understand it as a child of God, but when the world looks at you and I, in the midst of the chaos that's going on all around us, and we're walking in peace, and we're not freaking out by about everything that's going on, they don't understand it, and they're looking at us, and they're going, "What in the world is wrong with you? Don't you know what's going on around here?" Yeah, I do know what's going around. But I'm not going to let it control me. I'm not going to live in fear. My faith, my hope, and my trust is in the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Let the peace of God rule your heart. The peace of God, listen, is not the absence of conflict. The peace of God is a supernatural calm in the middle of the storm. He's not denying that there's a storm. He just wants us to recognize that in the storm, He's our anchor. He's our safe harbor. How many of you know that ships are generally pretty safe in the harbor? Anybody realize that? Do you realize that a ship was not ever intended to stay in the harbor? Number 7, and I'm closing with this. Little piano player girl. This is important. You don't have to start playing just yet. Let me refresh you. Remain calm. What do you do in the midst of a crisis? Remain calm. Call on the Lord early and often. Keep your eyes on the Lord because things may get worse before they get better. Number 4, learn to laugh. Number 5, pray the promises of God and pray His Word. Number 6, experience God's supernatural peace. And number 7, redirect your focus to others in need. Redirect your focus to others in need. How might God use you and I to minister to someone else? We live in a world that doesn't have much use for God. But as people of faith, we actually believe that this is the God of all power. My faith, hope, and trust is in God. We actually believe that Jesus, in a boat, in the middle of a storm, can speak to the storm and calm the storm. First Peter 3:15 says this. If anyone asks about the hope living within you, always be ready to explain your faith. What that's talking about is when the world looks at you in the midst of this crisis and they wonder why you're not freaking out. You and I ought to be able to tell them why we're not freaking out. I'm not freaking out because my faith is not in the... What's it? What's the shot that everybody's supposed to get or whatever? The vaccine. My faith isn't in the vaccine. My faith is in the Lord.
Amen.
Amen? My faith is in Jesus Christ. And I've been sick. Didn't change my faith. I still believe God can heal me. Church, I want for us to stay strong. I want you to wash your hands. I want you to keep living your life. And I want you to continue to give glory and honor to God. I want for us to put our faith, hope, and trust in the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I don't want any one of you to get sick at all. I don't want that. But I don't want for us to seclude ourselves and all these kinds of things. We need to live. We need to live. We need to trust in the Most High God, church. Amen. I love you today. And I want God's best for you. I don't want you living in fear. Our God is not a God of fear. Amen.